Elaine, sorry, yo, it's loud. Elaine, can you quickly come and share? While everyone is getting their seats.
Hi, I'm Elaine. I'm from Malmesbury. hello, Anoue. Hello. On Thursday nights, we have a get together. It's called Behold. And then the worship team comes and they just play their songs. And the congregation is welcome to come and just worship with or pray or something. And it's been running for a while, and I haven't gotten around to come yet. So Thursday, I was busy cooking my food. Or Thursday morning, I was scrolling through and I said, oh, yes, the Behold notice. And then by supper time, I forgot about it. It's like I'm like a goldfish, 5 minutes and it's gone. Anyway, by supper time, it was like I was scrolling through and, oh, yeah, the Behold thing is, yeah, I remember. And then it's like the Holy Spirit telling me, well, why don't you go? And I'm like, okay, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but I don't want to go alone. So, and then immediately it's like, but why don't you invite Marguerite to come with? And I'm like, okay, let's see what's up for Marguerite. So she's game and she comes. So we rock up here, but I'm more like nosy. Okay, what's going to happen? Oh, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, so the band starts playing and they start worshiping and we're praying and everything. And when I walked in, I had this, what do you call it? Like a wall call up your mom? Like a anticipation. Let's call it an anticipation feeling inside of me. And I didn't know why. And as they were worshiping, I was actually standing there. And as I was standing, I felt someone put his arm around me. But Marguerite was standing here and the rest of people were there. But there was no one around me. And I felt the heat radiate from here down my arm here. And I was standing there and it dawned on me that Jesus just put his arm around me. I was standing there, and normally when the Holy Spirit comes on me, I'm just a mess. I just cry or whatever. You just become a total mess. But this was so much different. It was a gentleness that I have never felt in my life. And I was standing now, I'm focusing on this heat, and I'm thinking, what else can it be? It is someone standing with his arm around me. And it was like that for like 10 minutes, you guys. And I was standing there, and as we were finishing, I saw a word in my mind's eye, defensiveness. And as I was standing, I just went like that. And I could feel something leaving me. And then the word popped up in my mind's eye, defensiveness left me. So I went home and I went and I looked up defensiveness and all that. And it was like exactly what it says is what I experienced in my life. I was a very defensive person and I didn't even realize it. So yeah, I mean, I just rocked up. So you guys rock up because apparently Jesus is walking around here.
So that's the second testimony of Jesus' presence at one of our Behold evenings. So he makes a habit of attending those meetings. That's awesome. All right, so good morning. My name is, and this is always awkward for an Afrikaans guy to introduce himself in English. My name is Johan Dreyer Visser. And I lead this congregation. If I haven't met you, I should make an excuse for my wife because she's not here. She is sick. I don't know how to describe without being too blunt about it. But she was up all night after she ate something that was bad. Is there anyone else that attended Tammy's baby shower that also felt that way? Because we're trying to eliminate what it was. Because we ate nachos at Spur last night, and I'm fine, and she's not fine. No, we ate the same meal, and I'm fine. Maybe I'm just used to a little bit more. All right. Anyway, okay. So I just want to start my timer. The title of the sermon this morning is the phrase that I want you to remember as you walk out. I will repeat this phrase. If you forget everything about this morning, you just remember this one phrase. Okay, are you ready for it? Those who take notes, I see you're still opening up. Are you ready with your pens? Okay, so the title is The Immeasurable Greatness of Power Available to Us. Ingrid, The Immeasurable Greatness of Power Available to Us. And I want to start by reading a quite extensive portion of scripture. And the only reason why I'm reading it is because it's so beautiful. And I was meditating on this the whole week. And I've asked Lumay to click the button on certain strategic points. And so have grace on her. But you can. I'm not going to put the scripture on the board. I'm just going to put up certain words. And certain words that I want you to remember. And so just allow the word of God just to wash over you. Amen? It's Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 23. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesians. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells all in all." Did Lumay get that right? Okay, awesome. Well done, Lumay. What an incredible... I was just meditating on that portion of scripture this week. And there were times where I was in tears. There were times where I was just like awestruck. And just how incredibly rich is that portion of scripture. And I'm quickly going to summarize and highlight a few important things. So Paul obviously is writing to the church in Ephesus. But he's not just writing to them, and that's the beauty of the Bible. The Bible is written not to us, but it's written for us. And so Paul wrote to these specific group of people, but through them, it also applies to us. Do you agree with that? Amen? Wil jy nie dalk vir hulle sê like just a little bit sagter nie asseblief man. Net klein bietjie, nie te veel nie. So Paul is writing this letter and so what I want you guys to see is he starts off by establishing your identity in Christ. He says you are chosen before the foundation of the earth. He says that you were predestined in love. You were predestined to be adopted into his family. Now that's quite a thing that I want to highlight this morning because being adopted means that you are in his family. You're not a stepchild anymore. You're not a foster kid anymore. You're not a servant. You're not a slave. You are adopted into his family. You are a legitimate child. In Romans somewhere it says that we are heirs with Christ. And let that quickly sink in. Because some of us, I mean, I'm including myself, we often from time to time see ourselves as slaves, as servants, as foster children. Sometimes I feel like the dog in the house that just gets all the scowl and the ras and the, you know. But we are children of Jesus Christ, of the Father. He has redeemed us by forgiving us, by pardoning our sins. And because of that, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He set a seal upon us. And so back in the day when there wasn't email and there were no, what's Twitter, X, what do you call it, social media, where a king would make a decree or send a letter. He would send this letter, and he would, before sending it, he would seal it with wax and with his ring imprint. And so by that, you would know that it is not a forgery. It is a letter that came from the king. And the Holy Spirit is the seal to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We are sure of an inheritance. We are sure that we belong to the king. And so that is your identity in Christ. And I just love that. Furthermore, God is not just, he placed a portion of himself inside each and every single one of us. And so now because of that, because of our identity, Paul goes on and he prays, and that's what I also want to pray. He says, may you receive the spirit of wisdom and may you receive the spirit of revelation. And I constantly pray, Lord, I pray that they'll have the spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. He says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened to see these three things. First, the hope to which we are called. That hope is not a hope like, I hope the oil price goes down. It is an anchor to our soul. It is the surest thing that you can have in this life. It's not just a hope. It's like a something that you can hold on to. The second thing is that you might see the riches of his inheritance. I think sometimes I've often heard the story that, oh, one day we'll just be in heaven and then we'll sing songs and worship all day long. You've heard that? I think it's so much more than that. And Paul is praying that we might experience and that we might see the richness of our inheritance. And then the last thing that Paul says, not the last thing, don't get excited. I still have 20 minutes. The last thing that Paul wants them to see, and this is what I want you guys to see this morning, is that there is an immeasurable greatness of power available. Do you get that? There's an immeasurable greatness of power. So why do we have these things? Why do we have the hope? Why do we have the inheritance? Why do we have this power available to us? Have you ever played these arcade games like Super Mario or one of those games where you go through the levels and then on each level you defeat an enemy and then you get to the last level and there's this big mean guy, the most difficult guy to beat, and then if you beat that guy, you have clocked the game. Okay, maybe some of you are not into games. we can use movies as an example. There's this lady, woman that are kidnapped, and the protagonist goes and he wants to save her, and he gets onto this estate, and then first of all he kills the guy on security. He's usually the easiest guy to kill. Okay, I don't know why, but he's the easiest guy to kill. And then you're on the estate, and then you have these waves of attacks that you have to go through. And then closer to the climax of the movie, there's this one guy, and that guy, he just don't want to die. You shoot him 3 times, he's just not dying. I don't know. You know those movies? And then eventually, when this guy is killed, then the protagonist, the good guy, can go save the lady, throw him over his shoulder, run out, and it's happily ever after. Now, the same is for us. Our final and strongest enemy on this life is called death. Doesn't matter how good you are, how wealthy you are, how strong you are, Rian, how good you can shoot, how accurate you are in your shooting, how... it doesn't matter. We all will face him, and we all will lose the battle. Except Jesus beat death. Jesus took the sting out of death. Jesus defeated death. And therefore, I can remember I was privileged enough with Uncle Will when he was... While he was sick, he was quite sick. I was privileged to listen to one of his last sermons. And he said, for a Christian, we will never die. We'll just simply fall asleep and then we'll wake up in another place. And that's always a phrase that I remember when, you know, early in the mornings or late in the evenings when your mind starts troubling you and you fear stuff, I repeat to myself, as Christians, because Jesus defeated death, we will not die, okay? We will just simply fall asleep and we'll wake up in another place. Jesus is placed as the highest authority over everything, and we sang it. Ingrid, did you see my notes before you chose your songs? Because that one song, I almost stopped you and said something about it, but I thought, let me leave it for the message, where it says, is that Jesus was placed at the top position of creation. He was placed above everything. Everything else was placed under his feet. Every rule, every authority, every principality, every position, every power was placed under his feet. And here is the beautiful thing. We are called to be his body. Verse 23 says, the church is called his body. Now I want you to understand that. The one that defeated death, the one that is placed above every single... Can you go one verse back? Maybe. The one that was placed above, yeah, keep it there, above everything, every rule and authority is given as the head of the church. Just quickly let that sink in. We are called to be the body of Jesus. Now let me explain that quickly. If I'm just the head, how can I love you? How can I hug you? How can I prepare a meal for you? Christy, because they have a... Welcome terug, julle. Lekker om julle hier te hê. They have added a new member to our congregation. So now, in this week coming, we are preparing meals for them. If I'm just the head, how can I prepare meals for them? How can I love people? See, a head needs a body to represent it. But a body without a head is quite a horrific sight. Do you agree with me? And so, we are called, it says in verse 23, it says, we are called to be the fullness of Christ. We need to represent Christ on this earth. We need to be his hands and his feet on this earth. But if we lose our connection from the head, we are just a headless corpse. And that's a horrific sight to see. And the church is never called to be without the head. And so therefore we keep the head in central. Everything is about the head. Everything we do is for the head. We always behold the Lamb of God. in everything we do, but we do need to present him. And so here's the thing. If we keep Christ as our head, if we keep him central to everything that we do, if he remains the sole source of our instruction, there's an immeasurable greatness of power available to us. And maybe you are now already dull of hearing that phrase, but quickly let it sink in. If we are connected to the head, there is an immeasurable greatness of power available. Now, if there are such a large power available to us, why are we so back-footed? Why are we, and I'm including myself here, okay? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to you. But why are we so scared sometimes? If Christ is called the head of the church and he's above every principality and power, why are we like dogs with our tail between our legs often? When we are confronted with the world, when there's WhatsApp messages coming through of a strike, why are we not jumping at that thing in prayer? Why are we not praying with boldness and confidence, saying, Lord, we are legitimate children of you. You are our head. There's immeasurable greatness of power available. Why don't we jump at those things? Why are we so exhausted in this world? Why are we tiptoeing around the world like traumatized stray dogs? Because I've adopted one recently. And I can only look at it and he's like, oh, shame. But I feel us as Christians are also like that at times. And we don't even recognize it maybe. If we truly understand this power available, how would it affect the way that we evangelize? How would it affect the way that we live out New Testament Christianity? How would it affect the way that we live in our neighborhoods? And how would it affect the way we pray? I think if we truly understand it, it will change our prayers from, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, please, I'm not asking you, Lord, and being all apologetic to the Lord, versus Lord, with boldness, come on, God, come do this for us. We need you in this. Lord, we're asking you. There's power available. And my hope this morning is that I can do something, or not I, the Holy Spirit can do something to stir you up to being people that pray more boldly and with more confidence, because there's power. The scripture that Cassie shared last week, he said, I think it's in James, you can help me here, James 5, it says, the prayer of a righteous person makes power available. Guys, we often, and I'm saying again, I'm including myself, we often pray like foster kids, you know, that are in the house, but they know that they shouldn't actually be there. That shame, that guilt, that whatever emotion was also placed on Jesus. And Jesus also defeated that thing. Not so that you can be arrogant. There's a difference between confidence in Jesus and arrogance. I'm not calling you to be arrogant now, like, where's the demons? Let's take them on. No? But we can if we do it in the name of Jesus. We are confident in the name of Jesus. You know, we all know the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do we pray this as a rhyme? You know, I've often heard it before, rugby match, the kringiki. Then it's like, Our Heavenly Father. And it's just a rhyme that people say? Or are we serious about it? Do we know that when we say, Lord, let your kingdom come, that there is power available to us? Do we earnestly pray it with faith and boldness? Or are we praying like, Lord, let your kingdom come. Please, Lord, we can't do this anymore. Let your kingdom come. Or are we people that can boldly pray, Lord, I want to see your kingdom come in my family. I want to see your kingdom come in my child's school. I want to see your kingdom come in my church. I want to see your kingdom come in this town. I want to stir you up to do it. What does it mean when we say, let your kingdom come? It says it's a space where the king is acknowledged, worshipped, obeyed, and believed in. That is what I want to see for my two daughters. I don't see it in their lives yet, but I'm fighting for it. And I'm not like, Lord, if it's your will, please save my children. I'm like, no, Lord, this is your will. Come on, Lord, come do it. Lord, we need you to do it with boldness. I'm coming. So I want to ask you, next time that you pray, which won't be too long from now, to pray it with boldness and with confidence. When you pray for your own life, do you pray, God, let your kingdom come in my own life? Remember, what we are saying is where the king will be worshipped and obeyed. Do you pray that the Lord's kingdom will come in your family? Do you trust the Lord that his kingdom will come in your child's school? I think sometimes we're like a frog in hot water. We just accept our circumstances. We just accept the fact that my child is confronted with thousands of worldviews in his school. And we just accept it. When last did you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in my church? Elaine shared this morning. Thanks so much for sharing that, Elaine. A status from Jonathan, was it Jonathan Stanfield, that she posted on the group, where he mentioned, like, what did he say? He says, church is not just Christians coming together, it's Christians assembling. What a difference. Wayne, what's the difference between visiting or assembling? It's like, come on, getting together, stirring one another up. He said, the church doesn't just gather on Sunday, she assembles. What a powerful statement. We're not just here to gather because we miss one another. Yes, there's that part as well. But we assemble. And it's not like we have our, like David, that was fitted with Saul's armor. It's not like we come and assemble with our own little powers and gifting. We come in the name of Jesus, and in his name, there is power available. Have I said that phrase enough for you to remember it? So, when last did you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in my church? When last did you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come in our town? Are we still fighting for the people in this town? Or are we content with the 50 people we have here? There's 64,000 people in Malmesbury. What is 50 of 64,000? Point something, 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 one maybe. And so are we fighting for it? Are we contending? Because there's power available when we pray. So I want us to pray. And I want us to form groups. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so I want us to form groups of two, three, or four.